How's everybody? When did we get our power back? Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, two nights ago. In the middle of the night. Everything kind of boom. You know, kind of comes back on.
Hey, Brett, obviously the weather conditions last week dictated giving the ball to Trent however many times it was, 24, whatever. But the success of that, could that change the offensive philosophy going forward a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think you'd always like to be able to run the football. Whether it's that number or not, you know, could be higher, could be lower. It just kind of depends on how you're moving it that day. But it was good to see. I don't think there's any downside to that for him to be able to carry the ball for 100-plus yards.
Has it been a dramatic change for him, you know, with all the kind of the zone blocking you guys do to stay true to the play instead of maybe, you know, trying to bounce things outside at times?
Well, I think that's always a battle as a running back. You know, course integrity, you know, staying on that course and trusting what you're going to see in front of you and trusting how we've got the thing schemed. You know, and then obviously innate ability takes over at some point in time. I think there's times probably where Trent has been a little bit impatient. You know, you want to do more, so you're going to try to do more, and that's not always the right way to go as a running back. And that happens with every running back. He's not the Lone Ranger. But, you know, I thought he was patient with what he was doing the other day, and I thought our line did a good job of giving him holes every now and then.
You have 7 third-and-ones.
Yeah.
What's the main problem there, and what can be done to fix it?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a main problem or not. You know, sometimes it can be the runner. Sometimes it can be the scheme, and that's coaching. And you know, sometimes it can be somebody being physically beat at the point of attack, and that's going to happen. Do we like it to happen? No. I mean, we're coaching against it. We're looking at, you know, who's the best. We're looking at us. We're looking at all those kind of things. What do we do the best in that situation? And you know, we're fighting to find a way to rectify that. You know, I don't think I'd put it on that just because, you know, we don't get in those 3rd-and-1 situations in training camp day in and day out. You know, it's typically a every third day type of deal. But all those are kind of their own entity. I mean, people play different defenses on those 3rd-and-shorts, and you really only have maybe a handful of those 3rd-and-1s and 2s, if that a game. You know, sometimes 2, 3 would be high.
Does not practicing in pads make that more difficult to practice in a short yardage situation?
Well, you never want to practice short yardage without pads on, because it really doesn't mean it's like practicing goal line without pads on.
Yeah, so you only get pads once a day.
Yeah, but you know, we're under the same tenets as everybody else, so you know, I can't sit and make an excuse and say the one day in pads has hurt us. If we had 2 days in pads, we'd be 7 for 7. I can't say that. You know, everybody else is doing the same thing.
Brad, the numbers for the Ravens defense are a lot worse. Or, you know, they used to be at the top of the league. This year they're not. Do you notice anything drastic?
I don't notice that. I don't, you know, I'm aware that, you know, of where they're at statistically league-wide. But I still think they're a pretty salty defensive outfit. They've had injuries, just like everybody's had injuries now. they're getting a guy back, just like everybody's getting some people back now. But I still see them being a pretty salty group against the run and against the pass. Well, you'd like to have some more explosive plays. If you look at the chances of scoring when you have an explosive play and a drive, and for us that's a run of 12 or a pass of 16. If you can incorporate some of those things within a drive, your scoring chances go up to in the 80th percentile. So we're always continuing to look for those shots or those explosives, if you will. And if you don't look for them, if you don't swing the bat, you can't get a hit. So I would say that particularly in relation to the passing game, because the running game, you know, guys got to break the line of scrimmage to get 12, and then wide receivers got to be doing their business down the field.
San Diego.
You know, I thought it was pretty steady, with the exception of the one that he missed to Ben. You know, and you know, it was really a tricky wind at that point in time. You know, you didn't know whether to drive it or to float it. But I thought, you know, that he was as steady as he could be given the circumstances. There were a couple drops in there. You know, it looked a lot different, I think, if, you know, I guess that's easy to say, but it would look different with a couple of those completions that were either dropped or the wind was taking advantage. Same circumstances, though, for Phillip Rivers, you know.
Are you kind of studying him from the standpoint? It'd be nice to have any quarterback who could drive the ball, has enough arm to drive the ball through the wind. Are you looking at Whedon in that context to see if he can cut it through the wind?
Well, he can cut it through the wind. It's just a matter of whether you're going to put him in a wind tunnel and turn on the wind machine 100 miles an hour. You know, I think he spins it pretty good into the wind. That wasn't right, a straight-on wind. That was if you looked at the flags up in one corner and then you stood on the field and felt like where it was coming from on the field, somebody's lying to you about where the wind's coming from, you know. So I think he's got plenty of arm strength to spin it into the wind.
You were coaching on the fly there. How much did you change your thinking about what you could do passing-wise as you saw how bad the weather was?
You did. I mean, when we talked about our openers on Saturday night, I said, that's as it stands right now, these openers. But, you know, I'm not foolish enough to amend things when we get to the stadium and walk around and get a feel for the warm-up and see what guys are doing and that type of thing. So you have to innovate and adjust. If you don't, you know, you're going to fall victim to the circumstances, you know.
Cribs has a very strong personality.
Spoken at times, and he's always asking for the ball publicly. How do you guys...
Privately, too, by the way.
How do you guys handle that, and how do you keep him at bay while still trying to get the best out of him?
Well, I don't think you have to keep him at bay. I mean, he's all in all, Tony, he's a team guy. You know, now, as I said in here, I think last week, I don't know one of those guys at a skilled position that doesn't want to have that ball every single time. You know, that's why he loves special teams, because they're kicking it to him or he's going to get his hands on it. So, you know, I don't know that you have to go out of your way to, you know, we try to keep him involved with the play here and the play there and personnel with his name on it. But again, we can have the best intentions and, you know, defense dictates that the ball can't go there right then. What have I seen? Yeah, I mean, he, you know, I think we talked about him about a month ago. You know, he can do multiple things. You know, it's rare that a fullback can play in the backfield and also play on the line of scrimmage. You see tight ends that can do that, you know, and change the line of scrimmage and tee it up against a defensive lineman, but you don't see fullbacks that can do that very often. And so he gives us some of those components of being able to play on the line, being able to play next to the line, and be able to play in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel comfortable giving the ball to in a short yardage situation.
Oh, I wouldn't want to give away any tactical I wouldn't want to give any tactical advantages, you know. There's some things in there where he could get the ball. He could.
Go into a game and say, our guy gives us a chance to compete against a Flacco or a Rivers or whoever that other quarterback is?
Not so much against the guy, just against the, you know, I think all of us think about how many points it'll take to win. You know, for instance, in the game the other day, you know, you didn't think that was going to be a 40-50 game. You know, whether it's as it started or whether it's as it got going, you said, oh boy, this is going to be tough sledding. But I think you look at it in those terms, you know, how are you going to be able to move the ball against their defense with your guy? Are there some things you can take advantage of? Is he at a spot in time where we can take advantage of those things that we think we can schematically? And then full well knowing that you know, they've got a chance to be a potent offense as well with the people that they have and the quarterback they have playing.
So you like where Wheaton is on that scale?
On that continuum, yeah.
We're at, Ravens are giving up 207 yards on the ground per week the last 3 weeks and about 5 yards a carry. I mean, there has to be something that you're noticing from them that they're not doing in terms of run defense as well as they have in the past.
Well, I think when you look at the Kansas City game and you look at the Dallas game against them, they were kind of steadfastly going to run the football. It appeared like they were running it out of some no-huddle settings. And, I mean, they were almost belligerent about running the ball. So, you know, typically that, you know, that's why you saw the run yards pick up. Now, you know, they've had a bye week. You know, typically you go back and look at yourself in a bye week and try to rectify whatever's wrong, whether it's going against a no-huddle or going against somebody that belligerently wants to run the football. Like I said, I still look at them as a top defense.
Dallas didn't win either of those games kind of justifies what Baltimore did defensively?
I don't know that because the Kansas City was down there four times and, you know, fumbled on a quarterback sneak and fumbled the ball away four times inside the red area. So, you know, they were having success with what they were doing. They just weren't having success in kind of finalizing.
In the context of that pick six that he threw against Baltimore, has his development since then been such that you're fairly confident that wouldn't happen again? And would you kind of review what went wrong on that? What did he do wrong with that?
Well, I think as a quarterback, you want that short-term memory, but you want to have learned from, you know, what it was that you did on that play that allowed him to have that opportunity. I think he's learned. But can I tell you that'll never happen again? I mean, crazy things happen. You know, you get a ball tipped, or you miss somebody, or misjudge something, or leave it on an inside shoulder instead of an outside shoulder. But just over the course of the last 4 weeks, you know, I'd say that he's made improvement in that area.
What's to revisit that place?
Probably
or the step by step of what went wrong.
A little bit late to the flat. There was just a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a kind of a pause and a, you know, just shouldn't have gone there.
They don't have Lewis or Webb, and they do have Suggs. So what do you see? How's the defense difference without those two guys, Lewis and Webb, and then what is Suggs?
Well, you know, Ray, I don't think you can quantify from a leadership standpoint what Ray does for him, but I really have been impressed, even when Ray was playing, with the Ellerby kid that comes in and plays, and he's an active linebacker. He looks like he's kind of grown and come into his own a little bit, and looks like he can hold his own in there. So, like I said, it's hard to quantify with Ray being the straw that stirs the drink, you know. But Ellerby, they're not going to take a big back turn because Ellerby's in there. I don't see that happening.
What about Suggs?
Yeah, Suggs, you know, it looked to me like they were going to get Suggs started there. He did not play every snap of the game. He played about 20, it seemed like. And I think he's playing himself back into shape, you know, getting into football shape. I think probably the 2 weeks has probably helped him. You know, he looks like he hadn't played football in a while, although he's good enough to have sacked the quarterback here against the Texans and played decently. So I just expect him to kind of continue to ramp up and continue to roll as he plays more football.
This team is with him every step of the way. And I know it's a young group,
mm-hmm.
but do they seem, you know, particularly engaged and really buying into what you guys are trying to do here?
You know what? I think so. I was just going to say they do everything we ask them to do. So I don't see guys backing up or pushing back or any of that kind of stuff. I don't mean that they're docile and they're all followers and nobody would question, because that's not the way that those guys are set up. But you know, I think they want to try to do the right things, and I continue to see that in their work and their preparation to follow the plan.
Is in your mind, you're approaching, do guys get more
mentally or physically tired as rookies as the year goes on? I've talked to some of the players in the locker room. They kind of had different takes on it, remembering their rookie year. Does it become an overload mentally, or is it more of a grind physically for these guys?
Well, I think it's different by different positions, depending on what kind of year you've had physically. But mentally, I think where it starts to take its toll is when you get to Thanksgiving time, and there's a couple different walls that kind of come up. You know, there's a wall because the college season is ending, and you're realizing that, you know, you're in whatever game this is, plus four, you know, your 12th game, and typically you'd be done. And then there's that real physical component where you say, wow, you know, and you couple that with the mental part, you know, it can be daunting, and you have to guard and make sure you're looking for the signs from your young guys that, you know, they're not going to get overwhelmed.
One more question, guys.
Great. Obviously, massively practice yesterday, full participation. Just looking, and how do you expect to be able to work him into?
Yeah, we talked about it last night. He looked to have a good day of participation yesterday, and I would hope that would grow and that he would come back and add a little bit more to it here today. So it's kind of a building thing. We'll just see if he's ready, you know, for prime time here by the end of the week when we get to Friday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.